The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, then he will sit on his glorious throne. Before him will be gathered all the nations, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will place the sheep on his right, but the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and visit you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of the least of these my brothers, you did it to me." Then he will say to those on his left, "Depart from me, you cursed, into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not minister to you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly I say to you, as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. The Gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Well, that gospel reading that I just read is what we generally call the parable of the sheep and goats, which is not a very good title for a couple of reasons. First of all, it's not really a parable. And second of all, it's not a good title because it isn't really about sheep and goats. But the truth is, it's a strange passage and not a very comfortable passage, which is not necessarily a bad thing. Jesus is giving a preview, or a trailer, as they say, of the great day of judgment when he, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, comes back and sits down on his throne to judge all the peoples of the earth. And the universal reaction of every person is bewilderment. The people who are commended by the king are flummoxed because he commends them for doing something they didn't even know they did, and the people who are condemned by the king are equally flummoxed because he indicts them for failing to do something they didn't even know they didn't do. The point of this teaching seems to be this: not one person, not one, understood what the king would be looking for when he came back to judge the peoples of the earth. The surprise comes when the witnesses come forward to testify. These are not the people who had authority over our lives. These are not the people we looked up to and tried to please. Not at all. They were the people we barely noticed. The checkout lady at Walmart, the welfare mom ahead of us in the checkout line, buying her groceries with food stamps, the man we always saw picking up cans along Route 56, the elderly lady in the nursing home who never spoke to anyone, our teenage neighbor who just spends all day every day in his room playing video games, the woman who cleaned the bathrooms where we worked, that person whose name we dreaded every time we saw it on caller ID, the young woman on our street who kept going back to the boyfriend who hurt her, we just shook our head, the people who lived at the group home whose faces we almost never saw. The great surprise of this judgment picture is that these are the ones whose witness will judge our lives, because these men and women and children, along with so many more, they are Jesus Christ to us. Insofar as we have had compassion on them, insofar as we heard the cry of their hearts, insofar as we looked on them as beloved of God, as men and women and children for whom Jesus bled and died, insofar as we have shown them love and mercy, we have shown it to the King. But insofar as we have passed one of them on the street without compassion, insofar as we have refused to recognize their need or even recognize them as human beings with the same kinds of feelings and fears and longings as we have ourselves, the same hungers, the same pain, insofar as we have walked by these, our brothers and sisters, passing them by on the other side of the road to avoid seeing them, to avoid being bothered with them, we have also passed by the King in his great suffering. That's the great surprise of the judgment. In this upside-down kingdom of heaven, the jury that passes judgment on all the actions of every man and woman and child will be those who are accounted the last and the least in the kingdom of this world, those who are accounted of no value, the forgotten and the despised, the failures, the dysfunctional, the hopeless cases. Because it is with the last and the least that the King allies himself, so that whatever mercy is shown to one of these brothers and sisters of his is shown to the King himself. And I believe that we, every one of us here, are both acquitted and condemned by this word today. There is nobody here who has not shown kindness to a neighbor in need. Every one of us at some time has reached out in compassion. But if we're honest, it's also true, certainly, that every one of us has failed at some time or other. Instead of mercy, we have sometimes condemned. Instead of kindness, we have sometimes failed to see or pretended not to see. So the purpose of this teaching is not to pat ourselves on the back, and it is not to condemn ourselves either. Jesus gives us this teaching because he loves us, so that in hearing this word and in taking it to heart, we can grow to be more like him day by day, so that we can know his will, so that our lives will reflect his goodness more and more. This morning, Carol read these words in Ezekiel. God says, "I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak. I will feed them with justice." There is no king imaginable like our God. We serve a king who hears the cry of the weak and the helpless, not the strong and the important. We serve a king whose kingdom is to be inherited by the last and the least, the despised and the rejected. That is a great mystery, and that is a great joy and very good news for us, because if we're able to see ourselves in truth and in humility, we find that we ourselves are strayed and injured and weak. We are needy and we are blind and we are helpless. And if it were not for the mercy and compassion of our God, we ourselves would be utterly without hope, just as surely as the people that we are tempted to look down on, to despise, to pity. It is as if the parents of a big family went away on a long trip, leaving their children home and in charge of the house. And while the parents were away, some of the children worked frantically at keeping the house clean, washing every dish till it sparkled, keeping the floor swept and mopped, wiping down the woodwork, polishing the mirrors and furniture. I'm not speaking from experience here. The parents like a clean house, these children said to themselves. When they get home, they're going to be looking for a perfectly clean house. Others of the children, though, worked diligently at their studies. They kept up with their school assignments. They practiced their instruments every day. They spent an hour every single day reading. The parents expect us to improve our minds and our talents, those children said. They'll be really happy with us when they get home. Others of the children took on the shopping and the cooking, and they made sure that every meal was perfectly balanced nutritionally. They policed the others. They cracked down on the consumption of candy, and they absolutely banned fast food. The parents want us to eat healthy, those kids said to themselves. When they get home, they're going to ask what we've been eating, and they'll be super happy to hear that nobody ate at McDonald's for the entire time they were gone. And so it went, for a month or more, while the children awaited their parents' return. And at long, long last, the children hear the familiar and much longed for sound of the family station wagon pulling into the driveway. And they all pour out of the house to greet their parents and tell them proudly how well they'd done when they were gone away. But the parents didn't ask about the meal plans. They don't seem to notice the spotless kitchen and the gleaming furniture. They don't ask about assignments or piano practice or daily reading. They only ask one question of their children. Did you take good care of each other? Our Tuesday morning Bible study group studied a book by the Reverend Jim Wallace. And in his book, he tells the story of a woman who taught him a lot about seeing and serving Christ and his neighbors. When Reverend Wallace was a young man, he volunteered at a soup kitchen in downtown Washington, D.C., a very poor neighborhood. And he met a woman named Mary Glover. And every day before they began serving food, she would call together all the volunteers. And she began every day with the same prayer. And in all the years that have followed, Jim Wallace has continued to use Mary's prayer over and over in his ministry. She would always end her prayer with these words: Lord, we know that you will be coming through this line today. So, Lord, help us to treat you well. Help us to treat you well. Amen. And as this week, as we cook and as we plan and serve and give thanks in everything that we do, let's remember that every face we see, every hand we reach out to, every stomach we fill, every heart we touch, they are Jesus to us, our Lord Jesus, who is both our King and our brother. And let us take good care of one another. Because in caring for even the least of these, his brothers and sisters, in caring especially for the least of these, his brothers and sisters, we are serving the King. Amen.
Amen.